such a beautiful practice, you know, because whatever's going on, so I'm coming from Akuti here, it's a beautiful day, and then my mind anticipates, what the heck am I going to say? Right? And then, oh, yeah, anticipation feels this way. And then there's the leaf, the beautiful oak leaf, which is reflecting red. And then we have the camera in front of me. So then, oh, this is what self-consciousness feels like. You know, it's such an elegant practice, because it's always just bringing you back to witnessing how life affects you. And to always live a life of trying to control things totally to one's own desires doesn't work. Creating environments which are wholesome and skillful and having good friendships, I mean, that's obviously very, very important. So what I suggested this morning is how can you kind of trying to find different language for awareness and mindfulness, because as I was saying, language sometimes just becomes kind of perfunctory and kind of parrot speak. Oh yeah, got to be mindful. Yeah, where's the punchline? So I'm suggesting these two words in this retreat: watchfulness and availability. And again, this is a way of using language which isn't analytical. It's not like I'm going into some kind of analytical mode and trying to figure something out. It's simply to awaken the mind, just that, just to awaken the mind. And then within that, I think, and to me that seems to be I would say that's the first lesson. What do we mean by awareness, or as Anjan Sumedho say now, is the knowing, or wakefulness, or mindfulness, in different ways that we talk about it. What is that? Do I understand that? And do I have a consistent way of remembering and returning to that? Now that kind of remembering is not like trying to recreate some blissful experience I had in meditation. That's based on greed. So I have some profound, beautiful, insightful religious experience on a retreat, and then I try to remanufacture that through memory. That's greed. I think we've all been burnt by that one. That doesn't work. But the function of remembering is a part of mindfulness. When we talk about mindfulness, it is about remembering, but not remembering in the way of trying to recreate something, but remembering that which is wholesome, that which is skillful. So, like when I suggest these words, watchful, available. What I'm asking is, can you remember that state of awakeness? If that language doesn't work, then you know, whatever language really. And can you return to that? And it's not a matter of desire. It's not a matter of desire. It's just a matter of knowing the way things are, and it doesn't matter what I feel. And then from that, that's the sort of platform that we can understand life. If we never get there, we can never understand life, because we're always judging it or trying to get rid of it, or we're distracted or whatever. So if we never come there, we don't have a real basis of seeing the way things are. So once we understand that, that's the platform, then we can observe. So I'm coming from my kuti, and I can see the sense of trying to get somewhere, trying to get to the meditation hall. I mean, obviously I didn't stop in the middle of the road, but just the sense of trying to get somewhere, and then the anticipation, no big deal. One of the very impressive things of Lumpo Cha was the way he walked. He just was so elegant. He was never in a hurry. You know, he was always very straight back. He was like the Queen Mary, just floating. And everyone was looking at him. And he had lots of pressure and lots of projections and lots of expectations, but yeah, I never saw him rushed. I often thought I wanted him to be rushed so we could start the meal. And he just slowly fiddle around, and he'd be waiting for the meal to start and so on. So just, if I don't have a platform to witness anticipation, then I'm either just driven by anticipation, say in this case, and my mind just keep anticipating the future and worrying and so on, or I judge it, I shouldn't be this way, or I just distract. You know, I just distract myself. So to me, the first lesson is the awakened mind, and getting to know that, and that's what I was suggesting this morning. From that, you can pick up themes of meditation. You can pick up body meditation, You can pick up metta meditation. You can listen to the sound of silence. It doesn't really matter because you're available and you're present, you're watchful. So the question then is, the meditation you like to do, does it enhance this capacity to be present, watchful, available? Or do you think that you're making effort in order to get something else? If you're making effort in order to get something else, you're already off the mark. Right? So it's not like meditation is an attempt to get something else. It's the training in this sense of presence. So a more fruitful way of practicing is to notice what are your preoccupations, what preoccupies your mind, and why does that? How does that take place? Not just through analysis, but through kind of existential experience. You notice what the mind is always thinking about the future. Oh, that's preoccupation. So what would I need to do to return to watchfulness and availability? So it's a returning home rather than a getting rid of. And at that, you can notice. And you can be preoccupied with the most beatific or horrible stuff and say, wow, look at that. And you come back to that kind of witnessing consciousness. You're not trying to get rid of anything, you just return home. Those are the ideas I find helpful. And then within that, then I can use the body as a way of knowing the present moment. I can develop wholesome states of mind, like the heart, metta, things like that. All right, let's do some practice.